This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 13th of October 2015 on Monocle 24.
Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. Today, I'm joined by Rebecca Grierson, director and music supervisor of Catalyst Music. For this week's music review, we'll be discussing two new records, Grey Tickles, Black Pressure by John Grant, and a new album from Editors, that's called In Dreams. Plus, we'll discuss a new documentary that tackles the fight between Islamic rulers in northern Mali and the country's musicians called They Will Have to Kill Us First, Malian Music in Exile. It's a beautifully shot film with an excellent soundtrack, obviously, to boot. That's all coming up here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Rebecca, welcome to the programme.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. We're both on the cusp. We won't know, our listeners in Radioland won't know this, but we're on the cusp of colds. You're coming out of one, I'm coming into one. What on earth can we do
in
to
denial.
Cheer ourselves up
Ignore
other
it.
Than listen to the new John Grant LP?
I don't think that's going to help, actually.
You don't think it's going to help? Black Tickles or Grey Tickles, Black Pressure, did it make
it's
you
a
feel?
Little melancholic.
Make you feel sad. Shall we, before we pick it apart, dissect John Grant's record, should we have a little bit of it? We're going to have global warming. This will cheer us up.
Global warming is ruining my fair complexion, augmenting all my imperfections, and Brazil does not need more encouragement. Global warming encourages like troglodytes to paint their homes with guns and knives in search of quality refreshments and some homicide.
John Grant there. That's a track called Global Warming from the new LP, which is called Grey Tickles, Black Pressure. Rebecca Grierson, what do we make of this? Is John Grant turning into Morrissey?
Slightly. I know his fan base is absolutely growing from strength to strength. I accidentally walked past Rough Trade East on Friday.
Yeah.
I was going in just to buy some music vouchers and I just couldn't get near the front door. Like, the whole of Brick Lane was absolute carnage because he was doing an in-store.
Oh, he was doing a little in-store. Okay.
Which is incredible because years ago I followed all of his albums and you'd say it to people and they wouldn't quite know about him, so I think he's really, really got his audience captivated now. And yeah, I think his songwriting's just as strong and just amazing instrumentation, and all of his lyrics are very poetic and quite sad and quite sarcastic, I think, in places. Yeah, it's a really good record.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that sort of gets better. You see that he gets better with every record and he gets more recognition with every record. It's quite a brand. It's becoming quite a brand, isn't it? It's an interesting thing that you kind of write these songs. Love songs for men, lots of them, and broken-hearted love songs for men, much of them. But that constituency kind of rides roughshod over anything, whether you're straight or gay, or whether you're in love or falling out of it or whatever. They're very touching. I mean, John Grant seems to have been through the emotional wars to be able to sing this stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he has a great emotional intelligence, which is really nice to hear a male singing in that way. And I think he's been in a lot of pain and hurt and come through it and then kind of had his ups and downs. So yeah, you do feel that you go on that journey with him through his lyrics, which is just like makes it always interesting. So you can never get bored of listening to him because you always pick something else out. And also his video is always incredible as well, like really creative concepts. And yeah, I think he's just a very creative, talented man.
And quite a good raconteur when you see him live as well. Like, he's got quite a... He's a cheeky chappy.
Yeah, he's good fun.
Yes, yeah, right. Yeah. He kind of puts the lie, actually, to some of the lyrical content of his songs, that he's actually kind of a bearish and lovable man in real life.
Yeah.
At least most of the time.
Although, we all have our moments.
We all have our moments, don't we? And in terms of this, when you're looking at an artist, John Grant used to be in a band called the Czars, very fine band, and then has gone. So are you looking for that thing... when you're in the business, are you looking for someone to kind of build on the success, not just in terms of sales, but kind of in terms of the quality, in terms of the kind of content, the lyrical content, the emotional whack of each album as it goes on?
It really depends on the platform, I think, because, I mean, a lot of his lyrics I don't think would work for many of my advertising campaigns I work on because they're too too sad. It depends, but on the whole, I think some of the instrumental versions would, because there's some great arrangements in there. But overall, I think the tone is maybe too somber.
The tone is somber, but yeah, you're right.
But then it's real life, so documentary, yes, and films, yes, yeah. And short films and anything like that. I think he'd be great to score.
He always strikes me as being the credits roll to a kind of hard hitting HBO or Netflix series, you know, something that you know, you could have a bit of John Grant at the end of that.
Yeah, I was thinking
to whack the emotional punch.
So it just goes in that pile, basically.
Goes in that pile.
It does, yeah.
No, Disney haven't returned any of his phone calls as yet.
All mine.
Okay, so that's John Grant. It's Great Equals Black Pressure. It's a new album out now, and it's fantastic stuff, isn't it? If you see a queue forming around a block in a trendy East London location, maybe John Grant is inside. Okay, we're going to move on to the second LP of the week. This is by Editors. They're a British group that just released their fifth album. It's called In Dreams.
It is
named after the Roy Orbison song, perhaps.
I didn't know that.
Pretty good. It's my favourite Roy Orbison song. It's amazing. Yeah. Should we have a little bit of it? This is No Harm.
My children despise my wonderful life. I'm a go-getter. I see through your walls, in your space, down your halls. I'm a go-getter.
All right, that's No Harm from the new record by Editors called In Dreams. And Rebecca, talk us through these guys. I remember reviewing their first album many moons ago and quite liking it. Where have they gone from there?
Well, I think like in this record, there's a total change in direction. Like you can tell that they're trying to evolve and move through like different production, and it's much more synthy and less guitar emphasis. So I think they've gone away and come back, and it feels like a really dark tone. I mean, I'm not like a super fan of the band, but this one really, really did draw me in and remind me of some of their great work. I know they had like Mercury nominations, and they have had like quite a big following. So I don't know.
They were
how this
quite something, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I don't know how this will be received by the hardcore fan base, but I think it's brilliant. Like it almost reminds me of like Thom Yorke in places. Just it's kind of really where they're going is like real kind of drama, dramatic. Like I just think it's a really interesting record. It really grabbed me.
Yeah, they were quite an interesting band. They were somewhere between sort of Joy Division and Depeche Mode, actually, with that kind of like big songs, but kind of kind of big guitar-y, kind of post-industrial kind of rock music somehow, wasn't it? That song reminds me of a song called Through These Walls by Phil Collins. Honestly, you should listen to it. Go back and Google it. It's called Through These Walls. The lyrics to it and the production is exactly like that song. In no bad way.
It could be a good mix.
Rebecca Grierson's rolling horizon in the studio. And that's an interesting thing. And what about that? And in terms of your job as a music consultant, what do you do? What do you do with stuff like that? I mean, that's quite bare bones, raw, emotional kind of stuff. What on earth do you do with something like that?
I would say immediately it goes in my personal playlist. And then like, oh, it doesn't have to be like placed on anything. But yeah, I'd kind of keep an ear out for that if anybody comes with like kind of a darker, like moody kind of storyboard that they've got, or something that's like a short film, or I don't know. It's really hard to sort of like, you know, when you get the right script and you have discussions with directors, you know when the right mood is going to come up. So I have like millions and millions of sub-genres for that. But again, like, I don't know, that could work on something really hard-hitting for a campaign. I just think, it really kind of grabbed me. I mean, the videos themselves are actually really good. So it's like they've done a really great job, whoever directed them. So yeah, it's well worth checking them out online. But I think again, like more kind of moody in depth, like kind of the next Dr. Foster.
What happens I mean, that's the thing, are you looking for kind of well-known brands as bands, if you know what I mean, or are you looking for, you know, as a musical bed that kind of flourishes into something, are you looking for something that people don't know what it is and they're furiously looking at the credits at the end to find out what that song is?
I think that's what's the best because then it really draws you in, it makes you really curious and makes you kind of research it more. and pulls you in. And if you can help break a band through doing that, I think that's amazing for them.
Yeah.
But then again, sometimes if the scene is right, it needs to be something familiar that people can really just grab onto or like have some kind of nostalgia activated in them. And if it's like a mood or feeling where it needs to be a kind of looking down memory lane, I think that's quite good as well to have like the kind of more, there's a place for all music, I think, somewhere. But yeah, I do quite like the breeze where you can get to be quite dark and melancholic, because I say on the whole, like on my day-to-day advertising work, it's quite upbeat in tone.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're like, yes, it's really refreshing to have something where it's a little bit moodier.
A little bit dark, a little bit mordant.
To match my cold.
Yeah, exactly. I thought we were going to talk about that. I thought we were going to cure it with the power of music. All right, we heard from Editors. It's their fifth album. It's called In Dreams. It's out now. We had a little bit of it called No Harm. We're going next to Marley. Now, this is called They Will Have to Kill Us First, which is an amazing documentary by Joanna Schwartz, which this is where Marley got kind of almost cut in half. And and Marley is famous for its fantastic musicians and musicianship and people cropping up on records, but mostly the hardcore of the musicians there. Talk us through this film. I wonder how easy this was to make.
Yeah, it was in 2012. It's actually going to premiere as part of London Film Festival. And yeah, it's just such an amazing journey, like all these different musicians just pulling together and actually managing to now like release records and have great success over here and trying to spread their message. It was a really insanely difficult time, and it really comes across as incredibly sad and moving, just banning records. Like, as in, you can't play any records, there's no record shops, there's no internet, there's no radio stations, like everything overnight forced musicians to go into exile.
And suddenly all music becomes rebel music, strangely. Yeah, like pop music becomes rebel music.
Yeah,
it's not just the kind of, the kind of Turowinds of this world, right?
Exactly, yeah. It's just their way of communicating completely.
Yeah. It's kind of closed off to you. What bands do we see that pop up in this documentary that we might know, and that those we don't know, that we're going to suddenly go out and rush out and buy their records?
Songhui Blues, I think, are probably the biggest crossover act. And they've obviously been picked up by Africa Express as well. So there'll be artists that you might recognise through that project. So they were signed to Transgressive Records. So they're touring, I think, over here. They've got a few gigs over here. So you might recognise them. And then the lady I'm going to play, who is Konku Koyate, if I pronounce her name correctly, I think she's also been kind of on the same circuit and had some involvement with Africa Express. And she actually does the theme song. So it's going to be released as a soundtrack eventually. So her theme song kind of encompasses the whole like premise of the documentary. So she wrote it especially for this. And then also the score itself is really interesting. It's by Nick Zinner from the Yeah. So
okay,
he did the actual score. He helped produce some of Songhui Blues' records. And so it's really amazing how you've got all these incredible artists have just kind of gravitated together to try and give these artists a platform to spread their message. So I'd really urge people to go and buy the soundtrack when it's out, because I think it's supporting the musicians themselves,
the good guys.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a cue as much as anything. Let's hit it. Misa ya tumbe jonto ki na voloti ye. Yala. Nisa ya tumbe jonto ki eto diva ye. That was a clip from They Will Have to Kill Us First, Marley and Music in Exile, which is both a fantastic documentary, premiering this week at the London Film Festival, and, luckily for you, a soundtrack.
Yes.
Easy to slip into your CD player or iPod, or whatever other people have these days. And who was that singing that we heard there?
So Konku Koyate. I think I've pronounced it correctly. But she's a really beautiful young female singer, and hopefully she's going to do some gigs over here. I don't know what the plans are for her specifically, but she wrote that for the documentary, so I think recorded it in a day, I was told. So, I think, like, very talented musician.
Beautiful stuff as well. And it's one of those things we were saying before we played the clip, that suddenly every musician and artist in that part of the world becomes kind of an exile, actually, and it's a strange thing. Go and buy the record. It's called They Will Have to Kill Us First, Mali Music in Exile. And that brings us to the end of the show. Rebecca Grierson, thank you very much, as always. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our TV review from Toronto. But for the time being, thank you very much for tuning in.